All right. It's a warm afternoon and a warm welcome from Jeff. Now going to ask Graham to come forward with the opening address, God's Glorious Day.
Good afternoon, everyone. Lovely to be here in intervention. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul relates the body of Christian believers to the human body. He points out that the human body is comprised of several different members: eyes, ears, nose, hands and feet and so on. He also points out that it is necessary that each member make its own contribution to the welfare of the body. And the third point he makes is that sometimes some members of the body, which are very important, are not given the recognition they are worthy of. He makes the connection between the body of Christian believers and the human body in verse 27. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. I believe that the hymn writers make a very important contribution to the functioning of our body, the body. We open most of our meetings with a hymn. We open this convention with a hymn. We close most of our meetings with a hymn and a prayer. After the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples sang an hymn and went out into the Mount of Olives. And I often wonder whether I give due recognition to the contribution that the hymn writers make to the functioning of the body today. And so I thought today that we could take a few moments to reflect upon the words of a hymn in an endeavour to appreciate more just what a great contribution they make to our faith and to our hope. The hymn I've chosen is BSH number 103, which starts off the very first line, "God has promised a glorious day." The hymn writer makes two very important statements in that very first line. God has promised a glorious day. And how important it is to realise that God has made promises. A promise is a declaration of intent, a statement of that I'm going to do something at some later stage. How many times have you seen, as I have, people become very critical and cynical of the Bible, the reason being they try to roll all the scriptures into their lifetime, when in fact much of the Old Testament records God's promises, declarations of what he intends to do at some time in the future. And so the hymn writer, in those first three words, conveyed a very important truth. God has promised. And the Apostle Peter virtually acted on those words. In Acts chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21, we read, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Yes, God's holy prophets recorded God's declaration of intent. Now, the second point that the hymn writer makes in that very first line is that God has promised a glorious day. A glorious day. And he goes on in verses 2, 3 and 4 of the hymn to list some of the characteristics of that day which will make it glorious. And I want now to just jump ahead to verse 2 and to think about some of the promises which the hymn writer has woven in to his work. The first line of verse 2 reads, "There the dead shall arise from the tomb." A promise with which we are all familiar. But won't that be a glorious feature of that day? I have seen, and no doubt you have too, people weeping in this life as they lower their loved one down into the grave, into the pit. Won't it be a glorious experience, a glorious event, when they are resurrected from the tomb? Not as the offence, so is the resurrection. Because the offence led to mortality, corruption, and death. The resurrection will lead to life, incorruption, and immortality. And won't that be a glorious feature of this new day? So the hymn writer captured that in one line. There the dead shall arise from the tomb. Quoting, of course, one of God's promises. And one of the places in the Old Testament where that promise is recorded is Hosea 13 and 14. "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction." The word ransom there, looking at Strong's Concordance, really means deliver. Make them free. He will deliver them from the power of the grave. Just as the Apostle Paul said in Acts 24 and 15, "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust." Isn't that one feature of the new day that will make it glorious? And indeed, you might ask the question, if it were not for the resurrection of the dead, how glorious would the day be? The hymn writer continues in verse 2, "And the living to health be restored." And won't that be a feature of the new day that will make it glorious? Now, I don't know what particular Old Testament scripture, the hymn writer had in mind when I wrote those words. But I wonder whether it might not have been Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35 and verse 5 begins, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened." Won't that be a glorious event? A few years ago, I had reason to undergo training that was supposed to better equip me to care for people who were visually impaired. The training included the use of four pairs of goggles. The first pair simulated the loss of 25% of normal eyesight. The second pair simulated a loss of 50%, and the third 75%, and the fourth set was total blindness. I was absolutely staggered at the handicap which 25% loss of sight imposed upon me. We had to don the goggles and then walk our way through a bush track. And immediately I put those goggles on, I thought of this verse. Won't it be a glorious event when the eyes of the blind are opened? The prophet goes on to say in Isaiah 35, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Several years ago, I had reason to meet a young chap who wanted desperately to fly an aeroplane. It was very easy for us to enable him to do so, provided he flew with a safety pilot, an instructor. Because while he couldn't hear, it was easy for us to say, climb to 3,000 feet, descend to 2,000 feet, turn left, turn right, or whatever. But he couldn't hear the radio, and therefore he couldn't hear what the control tower was telling him, and what he had to say to the control tower. And so he couldn't fly on his own. He couldn't fly solo. He couldn't be the pilot in command. And after a while, this poor chap, he loved flying, but he so desperately wanted to be pilot in command. He wanted to fly solo. And we agonised over how to do it. And throughout that process, which lasted several weeks, this promise came to my mind repeatedly. Won't it be a glorious feature of the new day when his ears are unstopped? The prophet Isaiah continues, and the lame man leaped at the heart. Again, not so long ago, I had occasion to take a young woman to the physiotherapist. She had been a member of the Australian Olympic gymnastics squad, and she was in Sydney during final practice for the games. She stepped on the high beam, I think it was, fell and injured her back. She had had four or five operations since then, but she was still a paraplegic. And as we drove to the physiotherapist, she reminisced about her previous life and all the things she used to do as a gymnast. And now it was all gone. And so again I thought, won't it be wonderful when the lame will leap once again as a hart? Now, I know that she wasn't lame in the same sense that a horse is lame if they become foundered, but nevertheless, the same principle applies. She lacked physical mobility. And we all know the benefits it will be when even the dumb will be able to sing. The hymnist goes on to write in verse 3, and a highway shall there be cast up, and the stones shall be all gathered out. Now, to appreciate what that promise really means, one needs to have had experience with roads where the stones had not been gathered out. Bush tracks, stones, washaway holes, corrugations, you name it. When I was a lad, we were living in an area where all the roads had stones and washaway holes and branches of trees fallen down and so on. We had to go about 9 miles until we came to the Calder Highway. And I recall us boys and girls absolutely so grateful when we at last reached the Calder Highway, because it was bitumen, without any stones, without any washaway holes. Wonderful. And so to understand the significance of this promise, we really need to have had experience with thoroughfares where there were stones and washaway holes and so on. It's like the prophet said again, Isaiah 62, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Now the prophet goes on in Isaiah 35 and describes the wonderful conditions, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. Verse 9, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. We read these verses, don't we, so frequently, and they're lovely verses, and we need to take a lot of time to go through them in fine detail to fully appreciate just how each of those particular facets will make that coming day glorious. And maybe verse 10 is the culmination. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Yes, it certainly will be a glorious day. Now the verse 10 says, they will come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And once again, the hymn writer has captured a critically important truth. Yes, it will be everlasting joy. As the chorus also says, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet to be parted no more. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on eternity's shore. It's all very well to have all these wonderful promises about the eyes of the blind being opened and the deaf ears being unstopped and so on. That's all very nice. But if it wasn't eternal, if it didn't last forever, then really they will be of great benefit, but only for a short period of time. But now the promise is that they will be for eternity. As Isaiah also said in chapter 9 and verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We can be faithful, we can trust that it will be fulfilled. And Daniel said, and in the days of these things shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. It will be eternal, a very important element of the glorious day which is yet to come. But there are two more points. There are many points in the hymn, but just two more. Going back now to verse 1, the third line, our Redeemer has opened the way. And how important it is for us to remember that it is the Redeemer who opens the way. You think back, people like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, all these people, wonderfully mature, righteous men. But the way was not yet open. And so can we appreciate the joy of Nathanael, recorded for us in John 1:45. He said, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him. We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Yes, he is the one who opened the way to this glorious day. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea, For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. Yes, it is in him that all the promises of God are yea, to the glory of God. And the hymn writer captured that truth so beautifully in the verse. The hymn writer goes on to say, and soon will its glory appear. Now, today, our very next speaker, Brother Russell Collins, is going to tell us exactly how we know, well, this is back to the line, sorry, and by faith we now see it draw near. And soon will its glory appear. And Brother Russell Collins is going to tell us how that now we can see by faith the imminent arrival of this glorious day, because soon its glory will appear. Yes, God has promised a glorious day.
Thank you, Brother Graham. Brother Graham's asked us to sing hymn number 103. God has promised us a glorious day, and by faith we now see it draw near. Hymn number 103, and we'll get you to stand up for it. Thank you.